So when I was at MTV and we would, none of this was, rarely was anything live. We would tape segments. And on Thursday, we would tape for the weekend. That would be called a 48. So we tape our segments, which is essentially the lead-ins, the intros and the outros, the videos without the videos. And that would be put together later by the tape jockeys up on Long Island. They'd literally start a U-matic with my segment and then start the second U-matic with the video. And this was the, we had made a deal. This is how it went. Made a deal. We would give Michael Jackson the planetary, we would receive the planetary premiere of, I can't remember which video it was. And this became competitive because we had not purchased BET at the time. And BET, whoever could dedicate more airtime. You know, it's a commercial deal, commercial deals. And then we threw in like a video music award appearance, all this stuff. And so it was Michael Jackson weekend for the planetary premiere of whatever video. And, you know, so you work a full day from 9 a.m. till, you know, 5 p.m. And you're doing segments throughout the day. There's a lot of coordination. There's changes. I mean, yeah, my life was really hard being a VJ. But it was, you know, actual work. And then Friday, we would typically only do a 24, which would be for Monday's air. And Thursday evening, we all got a call. Oh, my God, you have to come back early. We've got to do 3 days worth of programming on Friday. So not just the 48. We've got to do the Monday as well. We've got to redo the whole weekend because contractually we had promised every single time we said Michael Jackson to follow it by the King of Pop. And of course, that had not made it down to the studio, so we had to go back and retape every single segment saying, and now it's time for the planetary premiere of Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, with his new video. And that's how it works. That's how you completely controlled.
The King of Pop.
The King of Pop.
That's cute. So let's get this out of the way. What was with the hair that you had there? Where did that idea come from?
My ex-wife.
It was, oh, okay.
And it made me famous.
It was a total, yeah, the hair.
You see, because
you had the hair, luckily you had the kind of hair that could do what that hair did.
Well, when you have enough Aquanet, which is what we had in the day, you could probably, and anybody could make that hair. And you just have to grow it long enough, blow dry it, and tease it. But
did you go into makeup every day in the morning?
They had my ex-wife would do that every single morning before I left the house. She would do my hair. I was incapable of doing my hair myself, which made me a slave to her and to the hair. I'm not kidding. I was afraid to go anywhere without her because I couldn't do my hair. This is no joke, by the way.
That's funny.
That's sad is what it is. It's
well,
sad.
It's kind of sad, but
however, if
what's distinctive,
according to the Merv Griffin theory of celebrities, people with big heads are successful on television. And he would know. Look at the people he's hired and look at people who are successful on television. If they got a big head and that usually goes with a small body, then you are going to be successful.
L. Sharpton.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like a head on a dwarf.
So